Welcome to the 7th episode of the Meet the Mancunian podcast. The Meet the Mancunian podcast takes you on a weekly journey around the local community in Manchester. Season 2 has an interesting lineup of inspiring guests making a social or a community impact in the city. Presented by Deepa Thomas Sutcliffe, newbie Mancunian. Tune in every Tuesday for your weekly dose of inspiration. Looking to find musical healing? We hear from Martin Cawthorn, founder Gong Spa. I'm delighted to introduce my guest, Martin Cawthorn. Thank you, Martin, for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Martin, tell us about how you found your passion for sound healing, please.
Thank you, sweetheart. I'd love to. Well, I've been a musician for a long time, and I've been a meditator for a long time as well. Probably, I guess, around 30 years for both of those. And then I happened to stumble across Colin and Olive, who were doing similar work at the Glastonbury Festival in the healing fields. And my partner was with me, and she said, "Hey, why don't we try that?" So we went in and tried it. In fact, she went first and she came out saying, "I need you to do that for a living so that I can have my own gong slave."
Wow. I like that. Yeah.
And then I went in and, you know, the only thought that crossed my mind the whole time, because it brought about such meditative stillness and such beauty, that, you know, who needs thoughts in those moments? But the one thought that did come was, you need to be doing this for, you know, your way of life. And I quit my job 3 months later and I've just been gonging ever since.
That is amazing. And this is something unusual that you're going to help us experience a little bit later in the podcast as well. So there's a little taster of a gong bath for listeners coming up. Lovely. So could you tell listeners about the Gong Spa, which is your own venture?
Yeah, so Gong Spa is, I guess, the business name for what I do. And basically, it involves me going to play somewhere or other, maybe yoga rooms or church halls or places like that, and maybe somewhere between 20 and 40 people come and they lay down in blankets and pillows, and you know, we have a little chat just to settle them in, and then I play gongs for the best part of the hour. And it's very, very beautiful and very, very therapeutic as well. Excuse me. So,
go ahead.
So it's all that anybody has to do is just lay there and enjoy the sounds. And they're such amazing sounds that you can't help but enjoy them. And they speak so intimately with you. You know, it's like much more direct than any spoken language, say. So as you listen, the place that they're talking to is the part of you which is so deep and silent and loving. It's your nature, you know? And so as you listen, you find yourself naturally in that position of your own depth and your own silence, in your own understanding, and your own stillness. And because of that, and because of the vibrational element of the gongs, these vibrations are deep and rich and organic, and they're working through every cell in your body and your emotional body and your mind, and they're just massaging everything so that all the tensions are just loosened up, and everything that you've consciously or subconsciously been holding on to just is loosened, and you find yourself feeling completely free and completely relaxed, And then they go home and have the best night's sleep of their life, reportedly, and they feel really good for days to come afterwards. And
That
this
is
is,
amazing.
yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, for me, it's something of just beauty, you know. When you're in the presence of something beautiful, tends to go that way, you know. And you know, like when you, I don't know if you ever go camping and you wake up in the night and everybody is asleep and the stars are out, and you, such stillness descends in you in those moments, just in the presence of beauty, you know. And for me, gongs are so beautiful that that's how I feel about them, you know. And I hope everybody does.
Sure they do, and I guess this is a good time for us to take that introduction that we're going to introduce them to a very small taster of what a gong bath might look like. Martin's kindly done that for us, so Martin.
Martin Cawthorn from Gong Spa. Just wanting to let you know a little about what a gong bath is. So, when you come to a gong bath, you lay down on a mat with blankets and pillows, and you get yourselves nice and comfortable. And then you just allow the gongs to do their work. They're really vibrational instruments, and they sound amazing. As you lay there, the sounds and vibrations wash over you. And it's like they give you a little massage, working through all the cells in your body, undoing any tensions there. And they work through your emotional body, clearing any blockages. And they soften the mind and help to bring you into balance and perspective here and now in this moment. As you enjoy the sounds, you find yourself very much at home in yourself. And before you know it, the hour has passed, and I'm saying a few words to bring you back around. And by that point, you tend to feel very relaxed. You get a good sleep that night, and you feel wonderful for a few days afterwards. I work in the Manchester and Cheshire area. Also playing at festivals and such like. And you can find me on www.gongspa.co.uk or email supergongspa@gmail.com.
So tell us a little bit about who are these people who come to gong baths? Is there a particular profile, or does it completely vary?
Oh, it varies, definitely. You get anyone and everyone at the gong baths. Sometimes when we play at festivals, you'll have a funny situation where it's typically a woman that is coming and she's dragging her husband and says, "You've got to try this." And he's like, "Oh, I don't know about this, you know." And then he comes in and has his gong bath, and then afterwards he's in tears and he's giving me cuddles and he's saying thank you, thank you. And so, you know, sometimes it's the case that some people are more open initially to the idea of having a gong bath than some other people. But once they're in the room and having the gong bath, it works for everybody. There's no You don't need to believe anything. You don't need to have a long beard or, you know, it's completely universal. Everybody is affected by vibration, you know, and everybody is affected by something beautiful. I guess that, a number of people come because they feel that they could do with some respite, because they feel that they have stress or tension, because they just want a good sleep. But some other people come because they love the way it sounds and that's just enough for them. You know, You don't need to be having difficulties with your life to enjoy the gongs. But if you are having difficulties, then the gongs are very helpful.
That sounds really, really interesting and definitely something I'd love to experience one day.
Well, I hope you do.
I hope I do too. So tell us a little bit about what impact you've said. You said people have come back saying they've had the best night's sleep. Are there any other bits you can tell us where you can say this? I know that this has made a good impact.
Yeah. I'm always really loath to make any claims about health benefits. It's not a good thing to do for a number of reasons, but it's not uncommon for people to come to me afterwards and say, I feel so much better now. My ailment A, B, or C has, you know, become less of a problem for me. So that's really lovely. And you know what? I think a lot of the time, stress is an underlier of the difficulties that we have, whether mentally, physically, or anything else. And I think that besides anything else, that gongs may or may not work. Besides any other way that they may work with us, when they help to de-stress us, that is powerful.
That is powerful. There is a lot of stress in modern life, isn't there?
Yes, oh. Yeah. And it's just the layers that are built on that.
Would you say there have been some challenges on this journey? Because I'm sure this concept, maybe there's some skepticism, maybe there are other barriers you may have faced. Could tell us a little bit about that?
I think I've been really lucky, honestly. I've kind of fallen on my feet with this. Right from the beginning, I was working with, I was a teacher at the time, and I've been a musician for a long time and a meditator for a long time, but I was teaching, and it just happened that there was an opportunity to leave the teaching position, and my partner was really supportive, and the kids were just kind of leaving home, so everything fell into place such that I could take the risk to try something new. From the beginning, it's been really well received. I think there weren't so many people doing it in this area at the time. There were plenty of people who I could reach who might love it, and they did. And I don't know, that it hasn't felt like a thing made of problems. It's felt like something that as soon as I stepped into it, other doors seemed to open, and the right doors for me, so to speak. And I don't know, it's just beautiful to be able to be part of something that that people find some benefit in, so I'm not seeing problems.
That's great. How can interested people reach out to you and learn more, Martin? Where can they find you? On the website, social media?
So the main website is gongspa.co.uk.
What advice would you have for people looking to start something similar, maybe in another part of the world? We do have listeners from around 18 countries now, so hopefully somebody gets inspired.
Yeah, okay. So, if you love it, then do it. Whatever it is, whether it's sound healing or just the reason this has worked for me, as far as I can tell, has been that there's nothing I'd rather do than play gongs for people. You know, really, it's true. And the minute I'm with the gongs, my whole heart is completely given over to them. And to be able to give that to people is very beautiful. And I think that would be the same for anything that you love. You know, I think when we do things that we don't love,
feels more like work, maybe.
I don't know if that's the right answer to your question, actually. I guess if somebody wanted to play gongs, what I would recommend is that you you start with probably a secondhand gong that you can. The reason I say that is so that you can try it before you buy it, because gongs are so different. You can't just grab any gong and assume that that's going to be something that's going to work well for you or for anybody who's listening to you. If you want to give an experience that's beneficial to somebody, it has to be beneficial for you and enjoyable for you. So you need to find a gong that works for you. And they're handmade, they're unique. You know, just because you hear one that you like, if you then buy the same one, it's not really the same one. So, you know, because they're all unique. So you find the one that you love and you start there and you spend a long time playing it and getting familiar. They're like people in a way, you know, they have personalities and secrets, and they have such sounds in them that you don't know how to coax them out at first. You know, it takes a long time to get to know them and find their ways and just what to do to tease out certain things at certain time and when not to try and tease those things out. It's a real relationship between you and the gong. And can't be rushed. You know, if you try and buy a bunch of gongs at once and get out there and start playing them for people, there'll be something missing, and that's your relationship with those instruments. You know, and you can't have a good relationship with people through gongs if you don't know the gongs in the first place.
Like that. Can you actually describe what a gong is for people who may not be familiar with it? And of course, on your website, they can read more or look at more.
Well, generally, they're round metal instruments. They're made of various things. Sometimes it's nickel silver, which they make jewelry out of. You might know it from that context. Sometimes they're bronze, different kinds of bronzes. Sometimes they're steel. All the different metals and the different thicknesses of them create different kinds of sounds. And the way that they're hammered, the gong makers are amazingly skilled people. And having made a gong, I know what it takes to do that. And so every little dimple in a gong, the vibrations that come when you strike it with a mallet will take certain directions around the gong, creating different kinds of sounds. And what you tend to find is that, you know, like ripples on water, you know, you throw one stone and ripples start and they go on and on and on. You throw another stone and another pattern comes and it flows over the first pattern and they become something new without stopping each other as well. You know, there's something of a joining and something of a sustaining the original pattern that was there. And gongs are like this. You find that with every touch of the mallet, the vibrations and the sounds are creating something absolutely new. Every time you play it, it's absolutely new. And so they come in all different shapes and sizes, so you get different frequencies, and your body responds differently to different frequencies. So say if your heart is a sad heart one day, and it loves, and it's just physics, you know, any part of you just loves, responds, resonates to certain frequencies. So your heart will have something that it loves. And when that frequency passes by, it just jumps at the chance to join in with it, you know. So it might be a sad heart, but it feels its happy vibration going past, and it goes, yes, that's what I want, and jumps in. And just like we do, you know, as people, when somebody walks past who has a look in their eye and you love them, you know, or a music comes on and you immediately change because you hear it, you know. And our whole body is doing that. So in a gong bath, people are always saying that they could feel different things happening all the way through them, throughout the gongs, throughout the entire time. And it's fascinating to see how different people have different responses, or even the same person, but on different occasions. So each gong bath, they have a very, very different time. One time it's physical, another time it's mental or emotional. The way that the mind just picks up on some small sound and just goes off into some wild adventure, and it's irreplaceable. You never have it again. And people have these kind of experiences all the time in gong baths.
How long is a typical gong bath? Is there no typical gong bath?
For me, a typical gong bath is about an hour. You can go super long or not. I like about an hour, because any longer than that, and sometimes laying on the floor on your mat can start to be uncomfortable and distracting. So that as a general rule for my groups, I find that an hour is good.
And is it usually group therapy, or might it also be one-on-one, depending on the person, or a family or a couple?
Yeah. So I do private sessions in my home for up to three people, because that's all I can fit. So you get a different kind of intimacy if you've got a small group or an individual. You know, all the energies are kind of focused on those people or that person. But most of my work is with larger groups.
Does that bring its own energy, that large group feeling, yeah, that emotional healing together?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, there's a real sense of support and oneness together. Every group is different. It's very funny. You know, sometimes they're really chatty, and sometimes they're completely, you know, silent, and you never know what you're going to get. But always, it's people who are willing to be open to something new, to something unusual, to a new experience, and they're always supportive of each other. You know, it's beautiful. It's I wouldn't say it's guaranteed, because
I'll only be... Nothing is, right? Like you said, everybody can react very differently, but if most of the people that you give gong baths to are responding well, that's always going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to switch gears and just ask you my signature questions, which I ask all my guests. And my first one is, since this is Meet the Mancunian, what do you love the most about Manchester?
Oh, just being here. I love walking on the streets of Manchester. I love, we go for nighttime walks quite a lot. I love the feeling of the change that's always happening. I don't always feel like I recognize where I am in Manchester. And I've lived here, know, 30 odd years, and there's so many memories attached. And just walking the streets, I feel a real bond, and I feel like I belong, and I feel at home. I love the people, and I love bees. And all the music venues and bands. Seen so many good bands here. I remember when I first came to Manchester, just feeling that the place was completely electric, like alive and buzzing, and just anything could happen. And it's edgy, and it's really, its population is really mixed, and it's everyone and everything. I find it reminds me of places like Berlin and Chicago, just like anything could happen. It's really alive.
Where's your favorite place in Manchester?
I love the Apollo. I don't know if that's what it's called anymore, but I'm always going to gigs there. Venues change their names. To me, it's the Apollo. I've seen so many good bands there. It's a brilliant venue. I love Home. The where they
Been
have
to
this,
home.
they have the cinemas with, and there's always some really interesting films there, and great food and lovely people there all the time. It's always really interesting. I love my hammock and my garden.
That sounds nice. Hopefully not in the cold weather, but in good weather.
Go in there whenever I can, take a duvet out, I love Whitworth Park, Alex Park. The gallery actually at Whitworth is great, and the food there is great.
Great. What's the most important life lesson you've learned so far?
My partner is always right.
She's standing there asking you to say
Yes. No, she's
that.
not. But
Nice.
I tell you what, though, there's something in it. Despite the comedic value, there's some truth in that fact.
Probably right about that.
Oh, she's a wise one. And she, it's interesting, but she's completely different to me, to the point that I don't understand her at all. And because of that, it's like she represents everything that's outside of me, which means that everything that I could discover is right there. When you if you're too dependent on someone who's just like you, then you never really grow. So I love that kind of challenge of the thing, whatever it is, that I don't understand, and she's just the prime example of it. I feel like actually you don't have to understand anything, and I love that. And like, I don't know if it's just me, but sometimes I feel compelled that I should understand what life is all about, or something. And but every understanding that I can come up with, no matter how deep or profound, is exceptionally limited by its words and its concept. And I think that's a really valuable thing to recognize, is that your understandings are limited and that life is beyond them all the time. So, you know, if you're looking for, yeah, I don't know, that's a life lesson, isn't it?
It is a life lesson. And I guess if you don't understand, then, you know, it's about who do you go to help you understand what you want to.
You know, you go to yourself, I think, I think you don't need anything more than a loving relationship with yourself, and to, you know what I mean? You don't need anybody else's advice. You don't need some concept. When you can be at home with yourself, with your mind, then there's nothing, because everything else is just your mind anyway, in the sense that you can't know anything beyond the way that you know it. So it's your projection, you know, whatever it is. It's your mind that you're seeing reflected back at you. So if you can be at home with your own mind, then there's no problem.
I like that. I'm gonna kind of probably do a little bit of meditation on that and think about, reflect on that. Well, but yeah, I see what you're saying, and you know, yeah, it's somebody, one of my previous guests talked about, you're the only person who's in your life for all of your life.
Yeah,
every right. single life stage. And I thought that was so powerful as well, because, you know, we always have different people who are important to us, maybe family or a loved one, or, you know, a mentor, friend. You've got all these relationships, but then there's this one relationship which is with you from the time you're born to the time you die, and that is the one with yourself. So, absolutely.
Yeah, completely. I love that.
I'm probably doing a bad job of communicating it, but that was the gist of what I understood.
No. Well, I like what you said anyway.
Thank you.
And the wonderful thing about that is that it frees you up, because if you're the only one who you can know, or have any, you know, if say it's your family member that you mentioned, or your loved one, you know, all you ever really know about them is your understanding of them, which may be radically different to their understanding of them. But since that is the only possibility, then it sets you free, because all our concerns are about things that are beyond that, and they are things that you can do nothing about. so you get to, you know, if your self-love is your magnet, you know, your homing beacon, then there's a freedom there, which makes enough space that you can have relationships in which you can be compassionate, and you can be loving and understanding, and, you know, in which everything falls into its place perfectly easily, because you're present in the moment with them.
You want to reflect on. I'm gonna do some thinking about that. But thank you for sharing that with the listeners and myself. So I guess my last signature question for you is: if someone wrote a book on your life, what would they title it?
This is such a good question. And we were talking about this earlier, And well, what we came up with in the end was, I hope you don't mind that I've been talking about this with my partner. We thought of Tender is the Mite, which
10 days that might. Okay.
Tender is the Mite.
Oh,
So
okay.
there's a book by Fitzgerald called Tender is the Night,
Okay.
which is well, I don't want to go too deeply into it, but it's something of the difficulties for people to show their vulnerability and their loving nature and so on. But we were thinking that Tender is the Mite would reflect something of my life. In the first instance, that I've had the luxury of a life in which I've been able to show tenderness and love and work in a field where people are coming for tenderness and love. You know, it's that kind of life. And Tender is the Mite is kind of an expression of how actually the tenderness and love is the most powerful. You know, the depths, and it's profound how far and how far-reaching tenderness and love can be. You know, just that stillness is, it just goes through everybody. And alternatively, we thought of another book title called Crap at Zen.
So, Martin, is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you'd like to talk to us about, or anything new that you're doing that you want to share?
Want to record a couple of albums. So I've
Sure.
already got some, you know, for anyone who can't make it to a gong bath, there are digital versions that you can download, or you can buy the CDs. I've also, during lockdown, I did Zoom gong baths.
Very interesting.
And yeah, I didn't do it for a long time because I wasn't sure whether people's internet signal would be a problem, and their speakers and so on. But we ended up trying it, and people loved it and kept coming back. So we did that for quite a long time. And I hope to do it again soon, but I'm having some internet trouble at the moment. But I guess the point is that you know, you can have this without going to a gong bath. You can get in your own actual bath, perhaps, or lay in bed and pop some headphones on or some good speakers, close your eyes, pop on the album, and wait and see just what happens for you, you know.
That'll
I'm
be
pretty
very
sure that,
interesting. That'll be
yeah.
very interesting. And I think there'll be people who are time starved who might be really interested in it. There are people who are time starved always, or somebody in another part of the world who might be interested
Yeah,
as well.
and there's accessibility problems, you know, for people. So that's been good for them. Oh, I tell you what, here's a thing. For anyone in the world who wants a gong bath, I have a little Facebook group called Find a Gong Bath. You could just go on there and say, "Hey, I live in wherever. Does anyone play gongs near here?" And somebody will see it, and somebody will write back to you and let you know. There are gong players all over the world, so
That
there
is
you go.
amazing. I think that is a great tip, and I'm definitely going to link to that page as well. So it's called Find the
Sure.
Gong Bath. This is it.
Yes, that's it.
That's great. I'll definitely link the episode creative to that, so people who are interested could get their own very own gong bath. That would be amazing. Thank
And
you.
quite often, gong player, if somebody rings me and says, "Hey, can you come and play for my yoga group?" Then, we'll arrange it and we'll find a venue and go and play. And I imagine most gong players would do the same thing. So there's always ways, even if you can't get to A, B, or C, you might find another way. Just get in touch with your local gong player.
I like that. The little community of gong players around the there. Thank you so much, Martin, for talking to me and my listeners.
Thank you, sweetheart. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you all for listening from so many countries around the globe. I'm so glad to know you're finding some inspiration from the amazing Mancunian guests who feature here. I hope you enjoy the seventh episode of the Meet the Mancunian podcast, Season 2. Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. Please do consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. I would also be grateful if you could share this podcast with a friend or a family member. Thank you so much for your support.